good morning, and it's nice to be with you. See your happy, smiling faces. Hopefully they'll still be there at the end of the talk, but we'll see. But there's lots of things we can't see, but we know are there, aren't there? We can't see faith unless it is in action by the things that are done and said. We can't see love or hate, but it's clearly demonstrated, and we can see that. We can't really see electricity, but we rely on it an awful lot, don't we? And also, we can't really see... It will go... There, yes. If you want it to go forward, you have to press the forward button and not the backward. So, yes, we're up and running. On a beautiful day, a calm day, there's no evidence of wind, and yet we know wind exists, don't we? Because you can see it in the effects of it in the trees. And if it's a particularly strong wind, such as you get with hurricanes and typhoons, then you can see the devastation that it leads. And yet, where is it? What is it? You can't grab it and put a handful in your pocket and things like that. There are some things that are obvious from the evidence that we see that we know are there. And it's the same with the Lord God. There is bountiful evidence that he does, in fact, exist. You see, we can tell it's a windy day and we take advantage of it, don't we? Certainly if you've been washing and you want it drying, then you can get it dried double quick time. On the other hand, sometimes it works against us really, doesn't it? And we get wet through and blown about. So, why should I believe in a God I can't see? Well, what we see around, in and around the world, tells us that there is a God, because his word tells us of the conditions that will exist just before the Lord Jesus returns. They've always existed. There's been violence, there's been corruption, there was in the days of Noah, which is going back a few thousand years. But there's a lot more on earth now, and there's a lot more violence, a lot more corruption. We see from the pictures we've seen, and if you're awake, you'll notice that the wind's changed direction. It was left to right before, now it's right to left. So we know that there is wind. Equally, looking at the signs that we see around the world, and the way that people behave one to another, tells us that there is a God. However, some people don't believe that, and you may remember that advertising campaign some years ago. They were stopped from advertising "There's no God" because they couldn't prove it. And therefore they had to change it to "There's probably no God." Stop worrying and start enjoying life. But they've seen the point, because if you have God in your life, then you do not worry overly. We all do worry from time to time, but we don't worry too much because God is in control. And we do enjoy life. So effectively, there probably is a God if we take the same standards that the advertising people say we should. So stop worrying and enjoy and fulfill your life. Which there's a great difference between enjoying pleasure and fulfilling your life because of the things that you do that you know would please the Lord God. So, with today, what of the future? If we believe in God, then we do know something of the future, because he tells us about it. But it's an unfortunate fact that nearly everything's deteriorating. All kinds of things are deteriorating. I suppose we're deteriorating. Once you've got to the peak of your physical and mental capacities, we start going downhill. So we're all deteriorating, and that means us, really, doesn't it? Even for the young ones, you'll get to that stage where you're no longer growing stronger and brighter. You reach this stage where you think, not as young as I used to be. So, is there a long-term future for each individual? Is there a long-term future for mankind? As many people in the world are worried that the world is going to come to an end by man's own destruction, as it were. But we know that it will come to an end in its present form, replaced by the Lord God when his son returns. And if there isn't a God, then that's where we all end up. And there is no future once you're in that box. No future. But we don't believe that is the end. We need help. The world needs help. We hear it every day now, don't we, with the pollution and things like that. Getting worse. We need help to overcome it. We hear a lot about the plastic, don't we, now, that was a wonderful thing at one time. The cans could be done away with, the glass bottles could be done away with, all kinds of things could be done away with this magic material called plastic. But it's clogging up the systems, isn't it? Causing death and pain to a lot of the animals. So, if we do need help, and I think we do, because things don't move quickly enough to get rid of all these things, we've got to know that we're trustworthy. That the help is trustworthy. You wouldn't go to get some financial advice from someone who's just come out of prison for fraud, for example, would you? Things like that. But they've got to be able to help us. They've got to be willing to help us and put our needs first. And we have good evidence for the existence of God that He will do this. That He will do this in the Scripture. He is willing and He is very able to help us. If we do need help. Some people think they don't, but I think most people realise that we do need some help. And God is able to solve the problems that we may have if we are with Him. So what does the future hold? In the Scripture, in the Bible, it gives us great hope. If you remove that, there is no hope. It's just death. It's not meant to be a sobering subject, but that's the reality of it really, isn't it? We have good reasons to believe that the God of the Bible is the one true God that created all things. We see things happening in the world, and it gives us confidence that the Lord God is in control, because He's told us what will happen in the Scriptures, which we'll come to in a short time. So, why should I believe? Well, it can be difficult at times, can't it? If you're too busy, you've no time for anything, you've got to be here, you've got to be there, there's no time to stop and think about someone else, let alone God. So, the advice really is, just take a break for a moment and think about the overall picture of the state of the world. The overall situation in your own life. Can it be better? Can it be improved? So let's put ourselves in the situation that we may be a judge or we may be a jury. And what happens there is the defence counsel or the prosecution bring before the court evidence of a crime or not a crime, as it were. Now, if they look at the evidence and if they have a couple of pieces of evidence that agree, then it could be just coincidence. And we could look at various parts of the world and things like that and say, well, yes, there is a God, but you say, well, no, it's coincidence. But if there's many more pieces, as we do have, and as we'll see, then it becomes even more compelling that the party is either guilty or is innocent. Weigh the evidence that we see around us and we will find many pieces of evidence that the Lord God exists. So, well, weigh up the evidence. You're not wasting your time. It is a good exercise, even for those that believe in a God, to look at the situations around the world, because there's ample evidence that God is there and He is offering, through His word, a long-term future for us. Individuals, as many as would come to Him, believing that He exists, was the reading, wasn't it, that we had to start with, must go to God believing He exists, which is important. And so it would be foolish to come not to consider the evidence that we have. This is mainly an overview of things. We're not going to go into any great detail. But if we think about design, if we think about our world, and how even small changes may well destroy us, the laws of physics, for example, I know you think about that every day, don't you? The laws of physics, you think, oh yes, that's happened, it's the law of physics. The moral law in the scripture, and the Bible itself, is a book that is, well, the only conclusion you can come to is that the Lord God has caused it to be written. And we have various pamphlets, The Miracle of the Bible, which is good and nice to read. So, let's think about you doing a password now for a phone, for an email, whatever. You try and pick a random sequence so no one can guess what the next few letters are. And I'm not going to say, I'll give you £1,000 if you know what they are, just in case someone actually knows. But it's difficult to determine what the next four letters are, isn't it? On the other hand, that's reasonably easy. A, B, C, D, so you get some idea of what the next four letters of the password may be, and so you can get into someone's account. This is, well, quite complex there. What do you follow that with? This is rubbish. This is what we need. Let's go back to the first one, which there is TJBK. So quite a secure password because they're random sequences. If you'd have been able to calculate the odds of that, I think it's 26 raised to the power of 4, which is quite a large number. On the other hand, that's nice and easy, you can get that. And so there are some things that are in nature or in the world that are nice and easy to spot, and we know that there is a God. Other things need a bit of looking at, but this is a sentence. Well, I don't think anybody would have come up with that, would they, really? So that's quite secure. As far as design goes, the Lord God has seen to it that it's reasonably easy to say that there is a God. And on the other hand, there are a lot of things that are difficult to spot him, but once you start looking, you will find him. So if we looked at rocks in the countryside or whatever, they are subject to wind and rain, and therefore there can be any particular shape. On the other hand, if you visit Mount Rushmore, you will see the four heads and the mountain carved there. We know that one has been done by design, and the other is simply chance. Now, argument for design. It looks complicated to me. In fact, I've just remembered I've not switched my phone off, so I will do, but there we are. But the phones are getting more complicated to me. Anyway, I've just got a new one, and it looks most strange and different symbols, and I haven't a clue what half of them mean. But no doubt, I might get used to it in the next few years if time continues. But we realise that from that, these features, these icons, have a purpose. They lead us to what we're after, whether it's generally a phone or whether it's an email. They've been designed. We can see that. We can see that quite clearly. Therefore, there must have been someone to design it, someone to make it. And even if you made the phone, what use is it if there's no system by where you can use it? It's just a waste of material, effectively. But that's nothing, absolutely nothing, compared with our bodies and the cells that we have in our bodies. You may gather there that it's been enlarged because we can't actually see them. But there's lots of information stored in there. More information than is in any of these. Information, controlling systems, like there is things in here that control what happens. It's a vast amount of information. I mean, we've got to the stage now, haven't we, really? in terms of the information that you can find out. And so for some of you, can't do it with this phone, but for some of you, if I ask you the question, how many cells in the human body, all you have to do is talk to it, and it will come up and give you the answer. It's incredible from what happened a few years ago. No one really knows how many cells we have in our bodies. But someone has estimated scientifically that there's 37.2 trillion. Now that's an awful lot. And because it was an American website, they gave us it in $100 bills. But if you stacked $100 bills, 37.2 trillion of them, you're going to thousands of miles high. Certainly a lot higher than aeroplanes fly at these days. It's an incredible number. Are there more galaxies than cells? Well, it's no contest really, because even taking the worst case of one and the best case of another, there are far more cells in our body than galaxies in the universe. It's a remarkable machine that we are. Therefore, someone must have designed it, made it, just like the phones. So, where did life come from? Well, DNA is the popular thing now, isn't it? That controls life. And even that, in a small cell, there are things that are there operating. It's an incredible structure. I was saying that that actually came by chance. I don't think it's possible, is it? That something that intricate, and that's just one small part of our world in which we live. But we do live on a world that is just right. The distance from the sun, the stability of the sun, the size of the sun and the earth in relation to one another, the angle of tilt to give us the seasons, spring, summer, autumn, winter. The speed of rotation goes much faster and we spin off. If it doesn't go at all, not too sure what happens there, but I've forgotten. The proportion of land and sea. When we think of the sea and how it provides water around the world due to evaporation and things like that, it's incredible. The composition of our atmosphere, so we're able to breathe. It's so right. If it was any different, we wouldn't be able to live. Happened by chance? I think not. The laws of physics that you do think about every time you look at a pendulum clock and you see it there. If it's going too fast, you adjust the weight at the bottom of the pendulum. If it's going too slow, you do the same. So one will increase the speed of the swing to make time go faster, to make it right, as it were, and the other will slow it down. And it just depends upon the length of the pendulum. It's incredible. Man didn't invent the law, he just discovered it by observation, most likely, things like that. The laws indicate a lawgiver, and there's a lot of natural laws. Moral laws, well, the moral laws are spelled out in the scripture as well, but murder, lying, stealing, they're all rejected because they all lead to trouble, and that's what we've got in the world today, isn't it? Everyone has a sense of right and wrong, which in a way is a benefit, in another way it's not, because if you think you're right and you're willing to go out and fight for it, then you can lead to trouble, even though you may be completely wrong, but you think you're right. So it's a bit of a mixed blessing, is that? It's got to come from the Lord God. So the evidence in the Bible, it claims to be a message from God. Accurate predictions. A law ahead of its time. A variety of Bible writers. So, accurate predictions. If it's a prediction, it's got to be in the future. Seems reasonable, does that? A lot of the experiences and making predictions are based on what we've known about. particularly, I suppose, we could pick on the weather forecast, really, couldn't we? They do take note of what has happened in the past and the conditions that are around now and make a prediction of what's going to be like tomorrow. So, for example, they wouldn't predict that we're going to have a heat wave in the middle of winter or a month's cold snap in the middle of summer. They wouldn't do that, would they? Because it doesn't happen. Even though it's sort of extreme in many ways. And they do have varying degrees of success. The Bible, on the other hand, it's not varying degrees of success. They are all 100% accurate. All 100% accurate. So, we've got to have clear and direct. Michael Fish gave the clear and direct weather forecast, didn't he, when he said that the storms weren't coming. That was pretty clear and direct and wrong. Got to be written before the event, obviously. Michael wouldn't have said that after the event, would he? And the writers have got no influence whatsoever to make it happen. And it's fulfilled by people that don't know really what they're doing, that they are in fact fulfilling Scripture. And so we'll come to the Jews because they are in the news at the moment. Anti-Semitism, they are generally disliked. If there's any trouble in the country, who do we blame? We'll blame the Jews. They are generally disliked. But think about their history. You can't guess, you can't predict what would have happened due to their history, because it ceased to exist a couple of thousand years ago almost. They were taken out of their land. And so for the next nearly 2,000 years, they kept their identity in different lands, which is the scripture said, that the Lord God would look after them. No one could have guessed that. No one could have predicted it. But it's clear in the scriptures. All 100% accurate. A law ahead of its time. What about health? What are we told when we go in hospital? Wash your hands. Use the gel. Stop the spread of infection. If they'd have read the scriptures, they would have done that anyway. Because that's what the Bible tells us to do. To control the spread of diseases. Wash your hands. Morally advanced civil law. Yes, they're only really in recent times come to be written down. But they've been penned thousands of years ago in the scripture. And a lot of the laws, if not all of them at one time, were actually taken from the Bible because they are good, sound laws. The Bible writers, different backgrounds, different times, different cultures, slaves, kings, they've all written with one consistent message. No other book in the world can do that. It's one of the miracles of the Bible. It is, truly. So, what is the evidence that we can look for in and around our world? The design. The beauty of the design. The world that is just right for us to live in. The Lord God made it and he says, I've made it for people to live in it. And that's what's happened. The laws of physics, they're all there. We're discovering them all the time. The moral law. The Bible, accurate predictions. A law ahead of its time. Who could have written to wash your hands to control the spread of diseases? Who could have told you what meat and what fish to eat and what not to? It's all in the Bible. Variety of writers, they couldn't have written one consistent message. So, there's so much evidence that says that there is a God. If we look, we do not need to worry. There is a God. Don't worry. If we come to him that he exists, and believe in that, and we follow his instructions in the Bible, then there is a good future. A future of no violence or disasters. The world's full of it at the moment. No pain, suffering or tears. It's full of it in certain parts of the world. No death, just life. Is what the Bible says will happen in the future. You know, it's well worth thinking about. Well worth thinking about. There is ample evidence of God in and around the world. We cannot see the wind, we know it's there. We cannot see God, but we know it's there. And he's inviting everyone to come and join him for a beautiful future in his kingdom. Thank you.